In this week's market update, shares push higher in a perfect storm of positives. The pound heads towards $1.40 on reopening hopes, and commodities are flavour of the month. Well, hope springs eternal, they say, and optimism is certainly the dominant mood as the days lengthen and we look to put a grim winter behind us. You don't have to look far for reasons to be positive about the market outlook. The good news is queuing up for investors' attention. The consensus is now that the rest of 2021 will deliver a strong economic recovery and a continuing market rally. Top of the list of reasons to be cheerful is the reversal of the COVID curve. Here in the UK, the white patches on the government's official coronavirus map are spreading across the UK. White means fewer than three cases reported in the previous 7 days, and the data is therefore suppressed to protect identities. Effectively, it means that the area concerned is free of COVID, for now at least. In the US, the number of hospitalisations has plunged too. In a month or so, the number of hospital beds being used for COVID patients has halved from about 20% to 10%. Now, in part, that reflects the success of lockdown measures, but vaccinations are starting to play a key role too. The US has gone from zero to 50 million jabs in just a few months, and here in the UK, we've vaccinated 15 million. All the most vulnerable people and the over 50s should have been inoculated by May. No wonder the libertarian wing of the Conservative Party is putting pressure on the Prime Minister to remove restrictions completely by the end of April, with pubs and restaurants reopening at Easter. The third reason to be optimistic about the market outlook is ongoing fiscal stimulus, notably in the US, where even a watered-down version of Joe Biden's proposed $1.9 trillion package would take the total spend during the pandemic to $5 trillion, or 25% of US GDP. That is massive and unprecedented. Reason number four is the strength of the likely boom in economic activity when we're let out to play again. It's hard to exaggerate how fed up people have become cooped up at home. Maybe the Roaring Twenties analogy is overstating it, but it is totally reasonable to expect a bumper summer for parts of the retail, leisure and travel sectors. Reason number five is that the good news is being picked up in the corporate results data rather more quickly than anyone expected. Earnings are forecast to rise by 23% this year after a 12% fall in 2020. Revenues rose by 1.3% in the last 3 months of 2020, while profits were up 3.4% in the same period. That followed just three quarters of contracting profits, a much quicker recovery than forecast. And all of this is happening against a backdrop of continuing central bank accommodation. When the economy picks up pace, inflation fears rise, and governments have opened their checkbooks, central banks usually start to think about removing the punch bowl of monetary stimulus. But there's no sign of that happening this time around. We'll get some further insight into the Fed's thinking this week as minutes of the US central bank's last rate-setting meeting are released. This is all reminiscent of the combined fiscal and monetary support operation when America's wartime spending boom was funded by the financial repression of the 1940s. That was accompanied by a stock market boom and, in due course, an inflation boom, although rising prices in the real economy were somewhere behind those in the stock market, as they tend to be. Of course, history doesn't repeat itself, but with so many positives stacked up one on top of the other, it's not hard to argue against those who say that the markets have overcooked things already. So, just to catch up on the latest numbers, the S&P 500 was closed on Monday this week for President's Day, but it ended last week at 3,935, so within a couple of good days of breaching the 4,000 hurdle. Obviously, this is an arbitrary figure, and as the market rises, each extra 1,000 points becomes proportionately less important. But it is worth noting that we only rose above 3,000 in the summer of 2019. It took 5 years to go from 2,000 to 3,000, and fully 15 years to go from 1,000 to 2,000. Elsewhere, Japan is on a roll too. The Nikkei 225 index has surpassed 30,000 for the first time since 1990, shortly after the peak in the Japanese property and stock market bubble of the late 1980s. Japan's economy is finally picking up again. It rose 3% in the fourth quarter, again, much more than analysts had expected. Japan is more exposed than almost any country to a pickup in global growth. Perhaps unsurprisingly, markets hitting new highs is becoming self-fulfilling as investors seek to jump on the bandwagon. A record $58 billion flowed into stock market funds in the week to last Wednesday, but money's also pouring into bond funds as cash is finally put to work. The UK has been a notable laggard during the rally from the pandemic lows, although it too has picked up the pace since November on the back of an apparently more successful rollout of vaccinations than most other countries have managed. That's helped the FTSE 100 push ahead to just over 6,700, which compares with a low last March of briefly less than 5,000 and of just 5,500 as recently as 3 months ago. The bigger beneficiary of optimism about the UK economy has unsurprisingly been the more domestically focused FTSE 250 index, up about twice as much, 12% versus 6% for the FTSE 100 in the past 3 months. Also on a roll is the pound, which this week reached $1.39, up 6% on this time last year. The pound has been boosted by dwindling expectations that interest rates in the UK could head below zero. Although the Bank of England has warned banks to be ready for negative rates, it's also been clear that they may not be necessary. That more positive outlook was confirmed this week by news that the UK economy has avoided a technical recession comprising two consecutive quarters of negative growth. Although the current lockdown will undoubtedly push the economy backwards in the first 3 months of the year, we managed to eke out a modest rise in the final quarter of 2020. The asset class that's really in focus at the moment, however, is commodities. Again, this is unsurprising given the expectations of rapid growth and a likely pickup in inflation. These are the conditions that usually favour commodities, and the last year has seen significant gains for a number of key metals as well as for the oil price. Copper, for example, is up 80% since the March market low. Zinc is more than 50% higher. This week, tin rose to a 7-year high, partly on the back of demand from circuit board manufacturers, which use the metal to make the solder that links components on the boards. Tin is 70% higher than its low point last year. As for oil, which let's not forget traded briefly below zero in April last year, the talk is now of further gains from today's price above $60 a barrel for the Brent contract. As with all commodities, the price rise is a combination of rising demand and limited supply, as low prices have removed the incentive for oil companies to dig new wells. The OPEC cartel in particular has been disciplined about limiting supply in order to support the price at economically viable levels. One last commodity worth watching today is gold, which has slipped back from its recent highs above $2,000 an ounce. One of the key drivers of the gold price is the real, or the inflation-adjusted, level of bond yields. A low, even a negative real bond yield is good for gold because it reduces the opportunity cost of holding an asset which pays no income. With inflation expectations starting to rise and nominal bond yields remaining low thanks to central bank buying, the real yield is falling and gold is starting to look cheap on that measure again at today's price of under $1,800 an ounce. And finally, a contrarian investment idea. One region that's been strongly out of favour recently is Europe ex the UK. JP Morgan commented this week that a survey of investors showed just 3% of those investors expecting Europe to be the best performing market this year. Three times as many thought the US would be, despite it trading at a significantly higher valuation multiple. Europe is a bit like Japan, highly exposed to a pickup in global trade. It's a big exporter, especially of the capital goods and luxury products that are expected to be in demand. It's also a big player in green technologies that will benefit from America's Build Back Better fiscal stimulus. And it has a high weighting in financials, which will do well if interest rates start to rise in due course.
Please be aware the value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information does not constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Investors should also note that the views expressed may longer be current and may have already been acted upon. Reference to specific securities should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities and is included for the purposes of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you are unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor. This podcast may not be reproduced or circulated without prior permission. It is meant for UK residents and does not constitute an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction in which it may be unlawful to make such an offer or solicitation. No statements or representations made in this podcast are legally binding on Fidelity or the recipient. Issued by Financial Administration Services Limited, authorised and regulated in the UK by the Financial Conduct Authority. Fidelity, Fidelity International, the Fidelity International logo and F symbol are trademarks of FIL Limited.